you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 3. Brother John said he wanted me and David to preach, said go ahead and preach what you preached at Charlestown. So that's what we're going to do. I pray if you already heard it, that you just pray and ask God that he'd, one, if you didn't get anything the first time, I guess get something this time. That'd be nice.
Amen.
And if you did get something. but if you haven't heard it, I pray that God speak to your heart tonight. I'm not on right now. Good. Well, it's great. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Verse number 10. I'm going to read this. We'll pray and then we'll get into the message. 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 10. It says, "And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you get me out of the way tonight, Lord. I pray that you speak through me, God. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I need your spirit, God. I need you. I pray that you just put your hand on me tonight and use me in spite of me. And God, I pray that your spirit would speak to your people, God. And I pray that you would say what needs to be said tonight. I pray you help David prepare him, God. And I pray you use him as well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First thing I just want to say, I love serving the Lord. I love the fact that I get to be in the ministry. I love all the opportunities God has given me. I don't deserve them, I'm not worthy, but God's been good to me. And I just want to say that it's an honor to be able to preach with some of my best friends at a youth rally. Man, we talked about that 15, 16 years old, how we always wanted to do that. And now me and David got to preach with Kenny Baldwin in a youth rally. And that's just, I'm not lifting up a man, but that's pretty cool. All right, so we're pretty excited about that. And that's something that, man, only God can give us something like that. And it was a blessing, and I'm excited for what God's doing in my life. And we're getting to the message here. Here it says in verse number 10 that these kings get together, and they're about to go fight Moab. And Jehoram here, he's a wicked king of Israel. He doesn't do what's right in the sight of the Lord. He does whatever he wants. He's following the wicked wicked kings who've gone before him. He worships Baal. And he says, man, God's got us all here to get destroyed. That's why we're all here. He knew his sin. He knew he deserved punishment. He knew he was wicked. And so he's saying, man, we're all here because God's going to kill us. And Jehoshaphat, he's a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He says, well, hold on, wait a minute. How about we get a prophet in Israel? Is there someone in here who can give us a message from God tonight? And so his servants come and say, well, here comes Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And tonight, just for a couple moments, I want to get out of the way. I want to preach on Elisha, which poured water. I find it amazing here in this portion of Scripture that Elisha, who is a great man of God, people call him the miracle prophet because every time he shows up, God does something amazing. God works in his life, miracle after miracle, things that, man, just blow your mind that every time Elisha shows up, God says, watch this. And so I love Elisha. I love the character of Elisha. I love the man that he was and how he was used by God and how he was faithful to God. And so here he shows up, but he's not known as a great prophet. He's not known as a great man. He's known as someone who poured water on someone else's hands. That's what he's known for. He wasn't known as, now he's not like King David. When David showed up on the scene and the servant of Saul says, oh, he's a man of war. Oh, let me tell you about David. He fought a lion and a bear and he came out on top. Let me tell you about David. He had grabbed some 5 smooth stones and a sling, went face to face with a giant, boldly saying, is there not a cause? And came out with his head and his sword. That was David before he ever got to the throne. God gave us his resume, if you will. We can read the life of David and say he deserved the throne. We can look at David and say, man, that's why God used him. He was a man of God. Amen. But Elisha, we don't see all that in his life. We don't see why God picked him. But what we can see is 2 separate verses. The first time Elisha shows up is 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 19, where it's the calling of Elisha, where Elijah is walking down the street one day and he sees Elisha working in the field and he takes off his mantle and he throws it at him, and that symbolizes his calling. Something tells Elisha, God whispers in his heart, it's time to follow that man. are you going to go? And Elisha answers that calling, and he follows Elijah. And he it says in verse number 21 of that same chapter that he ministered unto Elijah. So we know that he ministered to him, and we know that he poured water on his hands. But other than that, we don't know much about Elisha. And if you have Usher's chronology in the top of your Bible, we find that 10 years have passed since 1 Kings chapter number 19 and 2 Kings chapter number 3. And so I find it amazing that in 10 years' time, you don't hear about Elisha. You don't hear anything he's done. Is it that maybe he wasn't doing anything worth mentioning? Maybe God was like, I don't need to write that down. He's not doing anything. I don't believe that. I believe what was going on those 10 years is God was molding him and making him and preparing him to be the man who would take over for Elijah. And so I was wondering, what did he do in this 10 years' time? And I think we can find it in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and the story of Elijah and how he ascends into heaven. And before all the things that take place before that, I believe this story symbolizes what Elisha was doing for 10 years. And so quickly tonight, we're going to go through this in 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him," I like his reply, "as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. You know what Elisha had done? He said, no, you know what? For 10 years I've been doing the same thing and it's not going to change now. He followed his master. He said, I'm not going to leave you, Elijah. He said, I remember where I was when I was plowing in that field and you walked by and threw your mantle on me. That changed my life forever. I'm not going to leave you now. I remember where I was when I was lost and on my way to hell and Jesus Christ came walking down the road and throwing his robe of righteousness onto me and changed my life forever. And it's because of that, hey, listen, I got saved when I was 10 years old, and it's been the best time of my life ever since. Ever since God came in, he changed my life forever, and I will never want to leave the master. Why? Because the best times I've ever had are following him. Amen. And Elisha said, no matter how far you go, no matter how hard it gets, I'm not leaving your side, Elijah. I'm going to follow my master. And so the first place they go is Bethel. And Elijah says, you can stay here. Elisha said, no, I'm not leaving you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Where you go, God goes. I'm not going to leave the presence of the Lord. And so they go to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. It's the place of blessing. It's the mountaintop experience, if you will, in a Christian's life. And let me say this. If you follow God wholeheartedly and you go wherever he goes, eventually he's going to lead you to Bethel. Eventually, he's going to lead you to some good times. Eventually, he's going to lead you to a place of worship. Can I say, I love the house of God. I love that these doors are open on a Sunday night and we can come in and worship the Lord. Amen. My best memories are in this house of God right here. My friends are in the house of God. My family's in the house of God. I have memories upon memories of God touching my life in the house of God. I love Bethel. There's nothing like Bethel. Bethel's where you get to come to the altar and cry out to God and get your heart cleansed. Bethel's when you get to raise your hand and worship him. Bethel's when you get to run around thinking how good God's been to you. Bethel is the mountaintop experience when it's just you and God and everything's going good. If you follow God, you might just end up in Bethel. And it's a good place to get in Bethel. Elijah said, all right, I got to leave. You can stay here. Again, Elijah says, I'm not leaving you. I told you, Elisha, the best part of my life has been following you. Yeah. He said, all right, well, we're going on to Jericho then. Now, Bethel, that was the house of God. That was the place of blessing. But Jericho, that's the place of the curse. The first time you see Israel and Jericho, it's Joshua crossing Jordan, and the first thing they saw was the walls. They saw this great city, this great obstacle in their path for their fight for Canaan. They said, man, we've been taken care of in the wilderness. We've been provided for. But now here comes this great wall standing in their way from what God has given them. And as you read that story, you know that Israel walked around that wall. And God gave them the victory. And that wall crumbled. But the story doesn't end there. We like to preach about the wall crumbling. But the fact of the matter is, after that wall crumbled, they still had to get their swords out, go into Jericho and fight. They still had to go and take that city even after the walls crumbled down. And what I'd like to say here is you may get to Bethel. Bethel, it's easy to follow God into Bethel. It's easy to follow God in the good times. It's easy to follow God when you're on the mountaintop. It's easy to follow God when everything's going good. But I wonder, what do you do when you see the walls? What do you do when she gets to Jericho? Listen, God said whoever builds Jericho, it's going to be a curse to him. And we find in this very same chapter that the water of Jericho was barren. Man, you couldn't even drink it. It just brought forth death, not life. There's nothing good about Jericho. But Elisha said, I don't care if we go into Jericho. I don't care if I got to draw my sword. I'm going to do what I got to do. We'll fight. I'm going to follow my master into Jericho. I wonder how many people get to Jericho and that's the end of the line for them. They say, well, I really liked Bethel. That was a good time, but I don't know about drawing my sword. I didn't know I'd have to fight. I didn't know it was going to get hard. I didn't know the battle would be raging. See, I think Jericho is enough for me. I think that's the end of the line for me. I'm going to hop off here. Master, you can go on without me. Elisha said, I'm going to follow my master anywhere. Even if I got to draw my sword, even if I got to fight, I'll go through Jericho with my master. Third place they go is Jordan. They get to Jordan, and I imagine this part here, I imagine Elisha is walking with Elijah. And man, they're talking about the good times. They're talking about their memories. They're talking about how good God's been. And they begin to walk. And Elisha sees Jordan. Maybe he's looking around. He goes, man, I don't see a bridge anywhere. I wonder if maybe we're going to stop right before Jordan. Let's keep walking. He keeps walking, and he's like, I don't see a way around it. Maybe the water was pretty deep that day. Maybe the current was a little fast that day. And he said, man, how are we going to get through Jordan? He's not going to say anything. He doesn't want to interrupt Elijah. You know, he's got a lot on his mind. And so he's walking with him, and I don't see a bridge. How are we going to get through this, Elijah? What so many people do is when they get to Jordan, that's the place where your faith is tested. That's the place where only God is going to get you through it. Yeah. See, on our own power, I don't know about you, Brother Kim, but I can't part water. Amen. I can't do that. I know when I get to Jordan, it's going to be God who has to part that water. When you get to Jordan, which is the place of the testing of your faith, see, so many Christians, they get through Bethel and they're shouting the victory. They even maybe get to Jericho and they'll pull their sword out and say, man, I got a victory in Jericho. God brought me through that. But then they get to Jordan and they see that there's nothing they can do in their power. And they go, God, why'd you leave me here? How am I supposed to get through this situation? How am I supposed to get through this trial? I have no way around Jordan. How am I supposed to get through this? And God says, trust me. God says, I can do that, but you're just going to have to let me do it. But so many Christians, they get to Jordan, they think it's going to be a little too hard for them. And so they say, you know what? I know I made it through Bethel, and that was great. I know I made it through Jericho, and God gave me the victory, but Jordan, that's, man, the water's too deep. It's moving too fast. There's no way I'll make it. And you know what Satan's doing? He's sitting there right next to you going, man, you remember Egypt? That was good, wasn't it? There's a whole lot easier than Jordan right now. And you start thinking, you forget about all the bad times in Egypt. You forget about the chains, the slavery, the bondage. You just remember the good times. You remember that pleasure of sin you had for a season. And Satan says, how about you going back to Egypt? It was easier there. Not Elisha. Elisha said, I don't care what we have to do. I don't care if we drown in that river. I'm following my master. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to follow my master anywhere he goes. And you know what Elijah said? Good answer, Elisha. Took off his mantle, smote the waters, and it began to part, and they walked across on dry ground. It may be a tough one. Hey, Jordan may test your faith, but if you just trust your master, you'll walk across on dry ground every time. Amen. You just got to trust him. You realize the entire time they're taking this walk together that there's this group called the Sons of the Prophet that are following them, and everywhere they go, they're like, hey, Elisha, why do you keep going? Don't you realize your master's going to get taken from you today? Just stop. Don't you know there's just hurt on the other side of Jordan? Why do you continue to go? Why do you keep going? Don't you realize you're just going to get heartbroken? Everything you love is just about to get taken away from you. Just stop. Do you realize when you're following God, there's going to be a whole lot of people who stay in your way saying, just stop. Why are you doing what you do? There's no point. You're just going to get hurt. There's no point. You're just going to lose everything. You know what you got to do? Just like Elisha. Yeah, I know it, but I'm going to follow my master anyway. Hey, there might be some hurt on the other side of Jordan, but I'd rather be hurt with my master than hurt in this world. Yeah. I'm going to keep on following my master. Amen. I'm going to keep on following him no matter what. He followed his master, and we look at verse number 10. He focused on his master. He said, Elisha, they get over Jordan. He says, all right, Elisha, I'm about to go now. This is the end of the road. Is there anything I can do for you before I go? Elisha says, yeah, I want a double portion of what you got. Man, I've seen you time and time again be used by God. I've seen the power of God in your life, and I want that. I want a double portion. Verse number 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Elijah says, all right, Elisha, you asked something hard, but it can be done. But the only way it's going to be done is if you see me when I go. He followed his master all the way here, but now it's time to focus on his master.
Yeah.
It says in verse number 11 that, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked. I don't know if they walked for 5 minutes or 5 miles. I have no idea how long that walk with his master was. But you know what I do know? I bet you Elisha had his eyes glued to his master. He said, I'm not going to lose focus. I'm not going to stop watching you. I've been watching you for 10 years. I'm not going to stop now. Why? Because if Elisha would have looked away even for a moment, his master could have been gone, and he would have missed out on the power of God. There never would have been the story in chapter number 3 when Elisha brings a message from God. Why? Because he would have missed out on the power of God if he would have took his eyes off for a moment. And so what I want to say to you now, church, is I wonder, are you focused on your master? Are you focused on God? Are you focused on the cross, focused on Calvary? You know what happens to us, the church? Calvary kind of loses its beauty to us. Calvary kind of loses its touch. And what happens is we lose our focus and we forget what Jesus Christ did for us. It's just not real to us anymore. The payment that Jesus Christ paid for us just isn't real anymore. And so we lose sight of Calvary. We lose sight of our master. And what we're doing while we're walking and talking with the master, trying to be focused on him, the devil and the world are on the left side and the right side saying, hey, look over here. Look over here. It's just a minute. Just take a glance over here. You don't have to keep looking. You don't have to keep looking at him. He'll be there. Just like, hey, just every Sunday, Pastor Ryman will be here. Hey, listen, the church is going to be here. You can go next week. It's okay. You can miss one service. He'll be here next week. Just like that, Satan's saying, just take just one glance over here. And you know what you do? You take one glance, one look, and you look back and you realize years have gone by. You say, but it was just a glance. And I said this at Charlestown. I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony of people who got out of the youth group as a teenager and said, man, I remember when I was focused on God. I remember when I was just all I wanted was him. But one day the devil got my attention off for just a second. And next thing you know, I'm an adult and I've done nothing for God. I completely missed out. I missed out on the teen camps. I missed out on the power of God. I missed out on God using me. I missed out on these great stories. Why? Because Satan just said, hey, it's just one quick look. All you got to do is take a glance over here. And when they look back, how much time did I miss? You realize if Elisha would have looked away, he would have missed out on the power of God. What the problem is we're used to salvation. We're used to this church. We're used to our pastor. But he's not guaranteed to be here on Sunday. This church's doors are not guaranteed to be open on Sunday. But what you do is you go, well, you know what? I'll catch him next week. He'll be here next week. I can afford to look away for a little while. I can afford to look away from the master. He'll be here like he always was. What if he's not? Seek me early while you may find, while I may be found. What if you miss it? You better get your eyes on the master. Verse number 12 says, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. I see this story and I think of Elisha looking up as Elijah's being ascended into the clouds. You know what I'm reminded of? I'm reminded of the book of Acts when the disciples were looking up in the clouds as their master ascended into the clouds. And an angel came down and said, hey, what are you looking up for? Just the way he went up, in like manner, he's coming back. Just like that, hey, Elijah's coming back one day, but he's coming back to die. But our master's coming back, but he's not coming back to die this time. He's not coming back as the lamb. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah to rule and reign on this earth. And I wonder, are you watching for his appearance? Are you looking up because your redemption draweth nigh? Are you looking for his appearance? Are you ready for it? Are you just saying, well, you know what? I got time. I can spend some time in the world over here. I can look over here for a while. The master will be here. Are you going to look back and be like, man, I missed it. I missed it all. I didn't get the power. He followed his master. He focused on his master. And lastly, look at chapter 3, verse number 11 once again. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elisha. You realize that most of the time you're not known for something you did once. You're known for something you do all the time. Yeah. What he's saying is he's known for pouring water on his master's hands. Why? Because he was faithful to his master.
Yeah.
The one thing his master gave him to do, he did it every day. And he did it the best that he could. You know how I imagine? I imagine Elijah was sitting down one day and maybe he grabbed a pitcher of water about to wash his hands and Elisha ran up and went, can I do that? Let me do that. Let me take care of that. Can I wash your hands? I know it's small. I know it's nothing major, but if I could just be a help to you, Elijah, I'll do it. And Elijah would say, fine. If you want to wash my hands, go ahead. And every day for 10 years, Elijah was faithful to pouring water on his master's hands. Every day, something so small, he was faithful to his master. I wonder, church, what would happen if we would just get faithful in the thing our master gave us to do. Even if it's something small, I wonder if Pastor Ryman is taking out the trash, if we get some people who will just run up and go, Pastor, let me take care of that. I can do that. I know it's not big, but I can do that. I wonder if we get some people who go, hey, I can knock on doors. I can get on the bus. I can do this. I can do that. God, let me do that. If we can get some people who come to this altar and say, God, just give me something to do and I'll be faithful in doing it. But unfortunately, what we do is we serve God when it's convenient. Right. We're faithful when it fits us. But if we can get some people who's faithful just because it's what God asked them to do. Faithful to his master. He was known for pouring water on his hands. He was faithful in everything he did. I wonder if we can get some Christians who would follow their master anywhere. Follow him every step of the way. Why? Because it's the best thing you'll ever do. Amen. Yeah. Sure, you get to go to Bethel. I mean, that's the fun times. That's the shouting. That's the worshiping. And believe me, there's a lot more mountaintops than there is valleys in the Christian life. Then maybe you will have to go to Jericho and draw your sword. And maybe it will take some guts. It'll take some grit. But guess what? The master's with you. The one who brings the victories. The one who'll help you in the fight. He's right there next to you. Amen. Maybe you'll have to go to Jordan where your faith is tested. But guess what? You're serving the one who parts the waters. Yeah. You serve the one who's going to help you cross on dry land. Amen. If you just follow him. Amen. I wonder if you've lost focus on your master. Can you say, man, I remember when I used to just... God was everything to me. I remember when I was focused so hard on the cross. I remember when I was focused on my ministry. I remember when I was focused on the Word of God. But then something happened. The devil got my attention. I thought only for a moment, but weeks have passed by. Months have passed by. Years have passed by. I lost my focus. You can get your focus back on the Master tonight. I wonder, have you not been as faithful as you used to be? Are you faithful to reading this every day? Just a proverb a day. Just a couple chapters a day. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to finding your prayer closet and getting alone with God and talking to the Father? Amen. Are you faithful? Or are you only faithful when it's convenient?
Amen, bro.
If you used to follow God but don't anymore, what happened? If you used to be focused on the Master but then stopped, what happened? You used to be faithful. What happened? You did run well. What hindered you? Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, I just want to follow you again. I want to get my focus right again. I want to be faithful. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your grace, God. I pray you just bless this time. God, help David, Lord. I pray that you give him the right message that needs to be preached. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.